Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on my sinful self. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on my sinful self. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on my sinful self. Those are the opening lines and the opening scene from the Russian movie, The Island. It's a 2006 film, and it's incredible. The whole thing is on YouTube for free, in HD. And it's very different from a movie that came out just the year before it, from Hollywood, called The Island. This is a Russian film, and it's infinitely better. But this opening scene is one of this old raggedy man, Anatoly, and he's walking around this little island way up in the frigid part of the White Sea of Russia. And we find out later that he's this monk, and he's just walking, and he's almost continuously praying this prayer, which is the Jesus prayer. It's a prayer that comes from the prayer prayed by the tax collector in the gospel today. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on my sinful self. And he's praying it almost continually as he walks about this island. And it flashes back then in the next scene to 30 years before, when this man, Anatoly, was a sailor and a soldier in the Russian army. And we see him commit this most pathetic, cowardly crime. So crippled is he by the fear of death that to save his own life, he commits this cowardly crime. And the ship that he is on soon after that cowardly incident is blown up, and he washes up on shore by this little island where these Orthodox monks are. And then it flashes again forward 30 years where we see him. And he's become something of this holy fool. And he himself is continually praying this prayer of repentance, this Jesus prayer. And you see this transformation that's taking place within him. But there's something that's being transformed in the island where he's at as well. You know, places can be evil places in themselves. Just as a person can be an evil person, or a person or a place can be a holy place or a holy person. And this self-emptying, this prayer of repentance that Anatoly is continually praying, it sanctifies not only him, but also this monastery and the other monks who are there. And it sanctifies this very island where he's at. And there are people from the mainland who come to it because through this self-emptying of Anatoly, this repentance, the word for it is kenosis. There's something of God's life that he's able to receive. And it becomes a place where people come and he has these gifts of prophecy and healing. He's this holy fool, even in the midst of his own monastery. But of course, God uses holy fools. When the whole world has gone mad, God uses the holy fool, who are oftentimes the great saints, point out these truths which we're not able to see in our own human foolishness. And there's a really moving scene right at the latter part of the film in which there's this incident that takes place on the island, and his superior is speaking to him, who doesn't really understand him. He doesn't get him, but he has this affection for him. And he says to Anatoly, the superior does, which it mirrors where Anatoly was 30 years prior. The superior says, I fear death. I fear death I'm one of so little faith. I fear death, which means I'm not ready to stand before God. I fear to die without repentance. Not as man sees, does God see. We don't see as God sees. When you see and you look out on the state of the world, you look out on the state of the world and you see the whole clown show, or you look out and you see the state of the church and the wreckage that's all about, what do you see the problem to be? When you see all that, what do you see the problem to be? We often see just the appearances, just the exterior, but God looks to the heart. God is able to see the interior and look to the heart. And it's a problem of holiness. It's a problem of holiness. Holiness, right? What does that even mean? We hear the word, but what does that even mean, holiness? Something is holy when the presence of God is there. That's why it's holy, it's set apart, because the presence of God is there in a particular way. And so a problem of holiness is that the presence of God is not there. And anywhere where God is not, evil reigns. And so in the world, in the church, or even if you want to take it one personal step closer, anywhere in your soul where God is not present, evil reigns there. And everything that follows that. But holiness is the presence of God. And where the presence of God is, this is where he's alive. So within me, this is where there's God alive, anywhere that there's holiness. And so it's a problem of holiness. God's not there. And there's one and only one path to holiness. And it's repentance. In the mid-90s, there was a group of priests who started this Institute for Priestly Formation in Omaha, Nebraska. And what they saw at that time were the problems in the priesthood and in the church, and they recognized that the problems were a problem of holiness. Remember that at the very heart of what the Vatican, what Vatican II was about, was it was a call to holiness. And these priests recognized that within priests, there was this lack of an interior life. That they didn't know God interiorly. And that they became caught up so much in the exteriors, which the exterior stuff in the priesthood and the church is important, but if it's not coming from holiness, from God alive within the priest, it's just hollow. That's all it is. And so what they started was this summer institute where seminarians would come and they would learn how to pray. And they would learn what it means to have an interior life where God is alive there. They formed this place so that priests could be formed to be holy priests, so that when they're ordained, they could come into parishes and bring God into that parish because he's alive within them. And they understood that the renewal of the world and the renewal of the church starts with the renewal of the priesthood. That if God isn't present in the priests, in their soul, he's not going to be present in any of those areas either, not in the church. And if God's not present and alive in the church, he's not going to be present and alive in the world as he wills to be. Twenty years after the founding of this, one of the founders of IPF, the Institute for Priestly Formation, Father John Horn, he was asked, because at this point, IPF, it was full in the summers. You had hundreds and hundreds of seminarians from all over the United States who would come. And it was fruitful. And he was asked, what caused that? What caused this fruitfulness in IPF? And his answer was a bit surprising. He said, repentance. What caused the fruitfulness in IPF was repentance. And it was a repentance which began with them, the group of priests who formed it. Not falling into the trap of the Pharisee thinking, well, we have the answer. Thank God we're not like the rest of the world or the rest of the church. We've got the answer and we're going to bring it to the world. No, they recognized that they had to begin first by recognizing that there was a lack of holiness within themselves and repenting of that, emptying themselves of that, so that they could then repent on behalf of the church and bring seminarians there in the summer who learn as priests to be able to be continually emptying yourself, to begin continually ministering to others from the grace that they've received from God and from nothing else. That it was repentance that brought about the fruitfulness of this. Jesus gives us this beautiful image in the gospel of what repentance looks like. Because he points on one side to this Pharisee, who this Pharisee is the perfect image of the modern man. Do you want to see what modernity creates? What sort of human being? This Pharisee would fit it perfectly. Because from all the appearances, he seems like a good guy. He does good things. But if you scratch just a little bit under the surface, you see that this man is a complete narcissist. He's self-absorbed with no self-awareness of his own sinfulness. He's self-justified, which means essentially he thinks he essentially can save himself. Do you notice he's even sitting here and he begins to pray to himself? He's a practical atheist. He prays to himself. He's convinced of his own righteousness and he despises everyone else. Thank God I'm not like the rest of humanity. He's so full of himself that when you're full of yourself in this way, God's not able to be present there. He's not able to reign there. But instead, one has to become like this tax collector who empties himself through kenosis, through this continuous repenting. He's emptying himself of himself. Why? So that he's able to be filled with God's life, so that God is able to be present within him, that he's able to be alive within him. This tax collector who cries out to God and the Lord hears the cry of the poor, acknowledges his sinfulness, and he asks God to be merciful. He's this image of repentance and of beautiful holiness. You know, this is what we do as we did this morning with the confiteor. We do as the tax collector did. We bow our heads and we beat our chests as we pray, I confess to Almighty God through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. We do that, and right after that, our eyes are lifted in the Gloria. We become, as Jesus says, exalted. Our eyes are lifted. It's almost as if the Lord comes to this tax collector who's repenting and emptying himself, and he puts his hand under his chin and he lifts his eyes up to see him. Immediately following the last verse of this gospel, the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Luke's gospel tells us that, and they began to bring children to Jesus, even infants, but his disciples tried to stop him, and he said, no, let the children come to me. Because repentance leads to something. Repentance leads to this childlike freedom, to be able to approach the Lord with this freedom of a child, almost with this holy foolishness of a child. This freedom which fears not death, and approach God not with shame, but with childlike joy. What does the world need? The world needs repentance. What does the church need? The church needs to repent. What do we need? What do I need to avoid falling into this trap of the Pharisee? I need to repent, to be continually emptying myself of myself, so as to be exalted, to have my eyes lifted to God, so that I can begin to see more as God sees, which is to see everything through the eyes of faith.